The mitzvah prohibiting priests from becoming intoxicated is found in a mere three psukim. Here in Vayikra, Perek Yud, psukim Tet, Yud, and Yud Aleph. It's worth beginning by reading all three of the psukim. God says, Yayin v'shechar sounds like two things, Yayin and also shechar. What is shechar? Yayin is wine. Is shechar some kind of other intoxicating beverage, but not wine? Is it a kind of wine? That'll be one question we'll have to ask when considering the boundaries of this law. Every year on Simchat Torah, the Kohen who wants the duchen and says, it's okay, I didn't drink wine, I only had a few shots of whiskey. Is that yayin? Is that shechar? What is included here? When does this apply? Ata, you, Aharon, uvanecha itach, and the other Kohanim. Bavoachem el tamutu, chukat when you go into the tent of meeting, into the Beit HaMikdash. Another question. Is this mitzvah grounded in entry to the Beit HaMikdash? The verb in the pasuk, bavoachem, sounds like entry. That sounds like a law. Which, kind of like when you go to a restaurant and there's a sign that says, shirt and shoes required, right? That people want to be respectful in a respectful place. So is it about entering the temple that we don't want somebody drunk entering the temple? Or is it about service that when a Kohen serves, he is supposed to be in a sober state and not intoxicated? Pasuk Yud. Ulehavdil, and this will somehow distinguish bein hakodesh uben hachol, between the holy and the profane, uben hatameh uben hatahor, and between the clean and the unclean. This pasuk is a surprise. What does this have to do with a kohen drinking wine? Yud Aleph, uleharot et bnei Yisrael, and to teach the Jewish people, leharot, the same word as Torah. All the laws that Hashem gave to Moshe. What does this mean? Lehorot. In looking at this mitzvah on the psukim, I could have a very, very, very narrow interpretation and say it prohibits a kohen from serving while drunk. I could basically file this law right next to driving while intoxicated and say, you can't drive while intoxicated. You can't operate heavy machinery while intoxicated. And a Kohen cannot serve while intoxicated. I could also expand it and say it does not just apply to a Kohen. It does not just apply to service. You can't enter the temple when intoxicated. You can't enter a shul when intoxicated. Ulaharot et bnei Yisrael. You can't study Torah while intoxicated. I could expand this to tremendous, tremendous degrees. The Talmud basically never systematically addresses this mitzvah. This is one of 613 commandments for Jews, but the Talmud never really addresses it head on and tries to provide the exact contours. The Rambam is the source who really struggles with what exactly is included in this mitzvah and what is not. And what we'll see is that at times the Rambam limits the mitzvah, and at other times the Rambam expands with the mitzvah. The Rambam begins his codification of this law with the rule, with the words, Kol kohen hakasher la'avodah, any kohen who is able to serve, Im shata yayin, if he drank wine, asur lo leikanes min hamizbeach v'lifnim, he cannot enter the place of the altar and further in. The Rambam continues, v'nichnas ve'avad, and if the person kohen serves in that state, avodato pesula, the service is invalid, v'chayav misa bidei shamayim, and he receives the death penalty. A law in the Torah which seemed homogeneous, the Rambam actually says, exists as two levels. And it's a surprise to think that a Torah law can magically separate itself into two levels. There's the prohibition of entry, that a Kohen may not enter into the space, but this does not carry the death penalty. You can't enter, you can't defile the space by entering intoxicated, but that's a lesser level of violation. It doesn't carry the death penalty. But if you entered and you served, then it carries the death penalty of having served in this way, which defiles the service by being drunk. Now, other authorities disagree with the Rambam on both levels. So you could have an authority who says there's no prohibition of entry at all, or you could have an authority that says that the prohibition of entry also carries the death penalty. The Rambam uniquely divides it into two levels of prohibition. The first question or expansion of the law was whether it applies to service or it applies to temple entry as well. And we saw that the Rambam tries to have it both ways, namely that it applies both to entry on a lesser level and also to service on a higher level. Now the Rambam makes a second expansion based on that word shechar. The word shechar in the Torah is a hard word to translate, and the Rambam here very clearly takes it to mean any intoxicating beverage. This is a debate in the Talmud, and the Rambam rules, Haya shikor mishar mashkina mashkirim, if someone is intoxicated from another alcoholic beverage, and you'd include here everything, scotch, whiskey, tequila, vodka, beer, whatever it is, asur li kanes lamikdash, again, you cannot enter the temple, you want to sanctify the space, v'im nichnas v'avad v'hu shikor, if somebody goes and does service and they are intoxicated from any intoxicating beverage, even if those intoxicating beverages are milk or dried figs, I'm not sure how milk is intoxicating, so here too the Rambam recognizes it's an expansion from wine to other alcoholic beverages. And he says that it is a biblical prohibition, but doesn't carry the death penalty. You can see the Rambam struggling. On the one hand, yayin, wine, is mentioned explicitly, and wine has a very special status in Jewish law, so it would make sense to limit the law to wine. On the other hand, if it's about treating the place with respect, then any intoxicating beverage would be disrespectful. And if the idea is that we want the Kohen to make a mistake in his service, any intoxicating beverage would. So the Rambam tries to have it both ways. The core prohibition is only wine. But there's still a additional fringe secondary biblical prohibition of any intoxicating beverage. And the Rambam says, even if the intoxicating beverage is milk. So here's a second expansion, not just of space, but an expansion of what fluid is imbibed. Then the Rambam comes up with a third expansion. The first expansion is, place. The second is beverage. And the third is individual. When you read the verses, you got the impression that this law only applied to a Kohen. The Rambam now extends it. Just like a Kohen cannot enter the temple while intoxicated, kach asur l'chol adam, any individual, bein Kohen, bein Yisrael, whether a priest or a non-priest, leharot kishehu shatui. The person is not allowed to eschew a halachic ruling while intoxicated. Afilu achal tmarim, even if dates, o shatach halav milk, v'nishtabsha da'ato me'at, and the person's mind is confused, al yoreh, they cannot issue a ruling, based on the verse, shne'amar u'lehorot et b'nei Yisrael, that third verse to give a guidance to the Jewish people. The Rambam continues that if it's an obvious halacha, then it's okay. Like you can't eat blood, that you can do while you're intoxicated. You're also allowed to learn Torah as long as you don't issue a halachic ruling. Now, this to me is incredibly striking because the Rambam is trying to have his cake and eat it too. Or if I might try the following pun, the Rambam is trying to have his l'chaim and drink it too. Namely, the Rambam in the first halacha expanded the law away from result and action, namely away from temple service, and moved it to temple entry to say it's about sanctifying space. That's sort of like a horizontal expansion. In this halacha, it's the expansion in the exact opposite direction. It's now no longer about space, it's about the practicality of somebody intoxicated making a mistake in issuing a halachic ruling. The Rambam says, if the answer, if the question is obvious, then you can issue the ruling even intoxicated. So this sounds, it's very much result-oriented. So notice how the first expansion of the Rambam pulled in one direction, and the second expansion of the Rambam pulls in another direction. We expand it to include entering the temple, which defiles the space, and also issuing halachic rulings, which can potentially lead to error, now, even though they are in a slightly different direction. Now, it is interesting that because this part of the Rambam is focused on the expansion to halachic ruling is focused not about the feeling and more about the practicality, and therefore the Rambam has seems to have a different standard of intoxication. Notice that here the Rambam says nishtabsha da'ato ma'at, that the person is confused. When describing the idea of breaking the sanctity of the temple, the Rambam gave you a different measure, 3.3 ounces of wine. But somebody who holds their alcohol well might not be confused on 3.3 ounces of wine. So here, because the focus is not about how could you be a drinker and enter the temple, it's about the real distinct problem that somebody might err in halachic ruling. The Rambam changes the formulation to somebody who is, nishtabsha da'ato me'at, somebody who is slightly confused. The Rambam did not have to say that this was part of the biblical law. And indeed, you could have easily interpreted the Talmud as saying that this is like a moral extension or a rabbinic extension of the biblical law. You didn't have to say that the biblical law included such a tremendous extension. We go from priests in the temple to rabbis issuing rulings. The Rambam does this in a number of other places. The Rambam, counts the prohibition of, ripping out your hair is somehow also included in that prohibition, is making, breakaway communities. He does this in other places. But it is surprising that these two things would survive under one umbrella. Unless you say, and I'm not suggesting this, but maybe unless you wanted to suggest that every time a rabbi issues a ruling, it's as if we are standing in the Beit HaMikdash, because the Beit HaMikdash is being in God's presence. And every time we issue a halachic ruling, it's as if we are again in God's presence, because when the temple is destroyed, the Torah takes the place of the temple. I don't think that's what the Rambam intended, but it's an interesting idea that a law that began in the temple now somehow went far outside the confines of the Beit HaMikdash. Now that the Rambam has addressed the law and the three expansions, including rabbis, including entry without service, and including other beverages, the Rambam then has to go and address the technical aspects of the law. This is generally how the Rambam does things, that the Rambam starts with the sort of broad strokes formulations of what we're dealing with, and then after having done so, Then the Rambam moves on to discuss a number of details of the law. The Rambam writes, Shasa k'dei revias bilvad, v'haya b'mayim kol shehu. If somebody had exactly 3 ounces, but it was diluted, o yashan me'at, or slept a little bit, o halach k'dei mil, or walked a mil. A mil is the amount of time it takes, 18 minutes is the amount of time it takes to walk a mil. We know that from matzah. Kvar ar hayayin umutar la'avod. Now that's enough in order to have the wine pass and enable the person to serve in the temple. Avalim shasa yosim revias afilu mazug. If somebody drinks a lot of wine, shena me'at o aderech mosivim b'shichruto. A little nap won't remove the alcohol. El yish elifnei shichrus. He has to wait until the alcohol has passed. Evidently, the Rambam believes that there isn't a strict formulation about how long it takes for the alcohol to pass. And therefore, you know, it depends on the person and it depends on how much they drink. If a rabbi makes kiddush in the afternoon on Shabbos on scotch and drinks a little bit, and then somebody comes to the rabbi's house 3 hours later to ask a question, maybe that's enough time for the wine to pass. And to go back to what we discussed earlier, how does somebody know if they are in violation? Perhaps that's what they do. They have the person walk in a straight line to see if they're still intoxicated, and that's how we determine whether they are possibly in violation of this law or not. There is one other expansion of this law that does not appear in the Rambam. What's missing from what we just read? In this section of Rambam, the Rambam does not mention that a Kohen duchening cannot do so when intoxicated on the basis of this law. In the laws of duchening, though, the Rambam does say a Kohen who has drunk wine is not allowed to duchen. Lefish hukshu bracha la'avoda. Because Birkat Kohanim is connected to temple service. But what I find striking is that the Rambam did not mention that here at all. If it really was an extension of this law that a Kohen cannot serve while intoxicated, I would have liked the Rambam to have said here, oh yes, and it is also the case that a Kohen is not allowed to duchen for the same reason. So it is interesting that it's not entirely the same. And the Rambam, when he does discuss this in the laws of duchening, only mentions wine, for example, and doesn't mention other intoxicating beverages. Some authorities say that actually a Kohen duchening has nothing to do with this. If you look in the Torah, the laws of duchening appear right after the laws of a Nazir. And some people say that the reason why a Kohen cannot duchen while intoxicated is because a Kohen is like a Nazir. Now, this is a super important question because we know a Nazir is all about the wine. A Nazir can't have wine, even a small amount of wine, even grapes. Can't even dip your bread in wine if you're a Nazir. The Nazir, it's about the wine. In contrast, as we've seen, the Kohen who serves in the Beis HaMikdash, it's about intoxication. That's why the Rambam expanded this to include other beverages. So there seems to be some confusion, both in the Rambam and in other authorities, whether a Kohen duchening is in any way related to this. Sometimes on Simchas Torah, a Kohen says, I didn't drink wine, I'm allowed to duchen because I only had whiskey. A Kohen who says that is saying, not in these words, but he's basically saying, I hold that Birkat Kohanim is not the same as temple service. After all, we do it not in the temple. I hold that the reason why a Kohen can't duchen intoxicated is because a Kohen is like a Nazir, and a Nazir is about wine, so I didn't drink wine, and therefore I should be allowed to duchen. And when somebody says back to that Kohen, yes, but you're drunk, you can't duchen, what they're saying back to the Kohen is, listen, you're in the mode of these halachot. You are, yes, you're not in the Beis HaMikdash, but you're essentially doing that. And therefore, you cannot duchen in this state of intoxication. But it's interesting, no matter what you say, that in these laws, the Rambam, who's talking about rabbis issuing rulings, makes no mention of a Kohen duchening in synagogue here. Later on in the chapter, the Rambam writes the following. Hol v'hu roi l'avoda, because the person is fit for service, limiting it to only the priests who are fit for service, not a priest who cannot serve. V'nichnas b'shat avoda, and entered at the time of service, minuval kacha, in such a unkempt or disgusting manner, v'arehu muzar shelo yikanes, and he has violated the prohibition to enter. The Rambam writes that such a person receives lashes. Now the Rambam begins this halacha with the words, Yira'eli, it seems to me. The Rambam recognizes that this is something that somebody might disagree with. That somebody might say, no, it's about serving while intoxicated, and any prohibition of entry while intoxicated is just a fence, as it were, around the law, a protection. We don't want him to serve, so he can't enter. The Rambam says, Yira'eli, he knows that this isn't something he saw in the earlier sources, but he believes it on conviction. There's something to the idea that we don't enter God's space in such an unkempt manner. And therefore, the Rambam says, I agree that there's a focused law that you can't serve or issue halachic rulings while intoxicated, but there's a second level of defiling the space. And he says, Yira'eli, even though I don't see this in the earlier sources, I believe on conviction that this is part of the prohibition as well. And again, even though the psukim are talking in a context where none of the Nevi'im had served improperly, so the psukim themselves also are pointing towards service, and many of the Talmudic arguments are pointing towards service, the Rambam believed on conviction that there is another level of this law. The temple needs to be treated with respect. And what does that mean? It means that when you enter in a way that's respectful. And that is the meaning of this law. That is the law of not drinking while, not entering while drinking. And obviously, for all of us, this law has its applications. When we go to synagogue, we should be kempt. We should be, we should honor the space by appearing accordingly. If you're going to visit the house of God, if you're going to be in the presence of God, a person should be, appear in a particular way. And the Rambam says that's an added aspect of this law of a Kohen not drinking.